Dubai Eye
103.8. We are in the midst of that perfect time of the year where sport takes centre field in all its guises and varieties. Grand Prix this weekend, the Rugby Sevens next weekend, and of course the DP World Tour Championship tour-ending event at the end of the race to Dubai last weekend. Popular winner, popular event with record numbers yet again. Just showing you that golf is boom business here in the region. And in fact, golf is going to be one of the major topics of conversation over the next hour as we start to make tracks. Making tracks is our opportunity for us to pay homage to leaders in their respective industries. And today we shine the light on golf, leisure and the hospitality industry. And we speak to an individual who has been at the forefront of golf in Dubai for many years, pivotal figure in the progress and expansion of the game over the last two decades. Somebody who came to the UAE many years ago, has seen the city grow around him and grow around golf. He is the GM of Dubai Golf now, which oversees Emirates Golf Club and the Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club, and more recently, the Jumeirah Golf Estates, which hosted the DP World Tour Championship last weekend. A graduate of Loughborough University and Nottingham and Trent University, where he successfully achieved an MSc in Recreation Management and a BSc in Sports Science. He's also somebody who loves his own fitness. He's a man that walks what he talks. He's run both the London and the New York marathons, as well as many half marathons and 10Ks. Continues to play squash, ski, run and bike in an attempt to keep fit. He's married to the lovely Claire and, of course, dad to Gracie and Jodie. A regular on golf courses here in the region and sporting events in general. He also became the first person in the Gulf region to successfully pass the CCM examination through CMAE and has since achieved recertification in 2015. It is a pleasure to welcome to the studio as we find out more about the story and the making tracks of Mr. Chris May of Dubai Golf Fame. He joins us live in the studio. Chris, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Great to be here. Nice to be in your lovely new studio.
Well, I'm glad you have made it. You know, we had a bit of a false start last weekend, but we made a date and we're here and we've got the view. And it's a beautiful sort of, it's sort of, for someone like you and for someone like me and for a number of listeners out there that have been in the UAE for a while, it's moments like this where you actually sort of need to sit back and have a look at an alternative view of the city and go, wow, it's grown, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, from your office, we're looking out over Burj Al Arab, which is one of the most iconic buildings in the world, let alone Dubai. But it's still a stunning building. And every time I look at it, I think, wow, that is amazing. And it is just unbelievable to think what's happened in the city in the 20 years that I've been here and how much it has grown and developed. Quite unbelievable.
20 years in the UAE, 20 years in Dubai. So you must get often asked this question about the architecture of the city when you arrive. We'll get into that in more detail. But as you mentioned there, the Burj Al Arab would have been there when you arrived. Just.
It was. It was. It opened. I arrived in the February of 99 and it opened in the December. And my wife, Claire, was in the pre-opening team. And so she worked there when we first came.
So it was one of the reasons you came.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We'll get on to Dubai in just a little while, but this is an opportunity for us to sort of cast our minds back to a variety of subjects. And Chris, I mean, we know we've got an idea of Chris May because so many people you've interacted with so many people over the two decades that you've been here in the region. But where does Chris May hail from? If Dubai is your home now, where's your original home?
Home is Somerset, small yep. town in Somerset called Minehead. That was where I was brought up. My parents still live there today and regularly go back and visit there. Beautiful part of the world. And so I had a great childhood there, really fantastic. Lots of outdoor activities.
Was outdoor, was it?
Yeah, very much so. Outdoor all the time. Lots of sports, lots of, you know, we're very lucky to be next to a national park. So we're up on the hills very often. And yeah, beautiful part of the world to be brought up in. So I was very, very fortunate.
If you call that home, and you mentioned there about the great upbringing you had, the very sporty, the very outdoor, the very sort of healthy, is that something that was encouraged by your parents? Is that something that was instilled into you by them as well?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, both mum and dad were very keen and active sports people.
Yeah.
But my dad played tennis at Wimbledon, at Junior Wimbledon.
Wow.
Was a semi-pro footballer, was a badminton player, squash player, and a golfer. And, and mum played hockey for Somerset and played badminton and was a shot putter as well.
Wow.
Mum and dad were always doing things, and we were just brought up around sport. And it was a great childhood. And my brother, myself, and my sister were still are very active in sports.
You mentioned that, and I mentioned that in the intro as well, that your love of sport that has stuck with you and become part and parcel of your life, your job, everything you do as well. Were you sort of pushed towards a particular sport as a youngster?
No, I wasn't really pushed. I tried everything, did everything.
Give it a go.
It was that I tended to then migrate to those that I became more proficient at. I played a lot of football as a kid, and squash, rugby. I didn't play a lot of cricket, which is strange coming from Somerset, because I used to go and watch a lot of cricket when I was a kid. We had a great county team in those days with Ian Botham, Viv Richards, Joel Garner. But I wasn't a great cricketer. But my main sports were probably football and squash as a child growing up. And I retired very early from badminton when my brother beat me. As he was 4 years younger than me, that wasn't great. But those are the two things I really concentrated on. And then latterly golf. Great memories of a childhood filled with lots of sport and outdoor activity.
We're going to dive into them in more detail in just a little while. And, of course, have a look at the small matter of school and education along the way as well. But we do ask our guests on Making Tracks to come up with four songs, four sonic signposts, if you like, of their life and times from early memories all the way through to the modern day. And so talk us through your first selection, Chris. What are you going for?
I went for an ABBA track. Not really my. I mean, yeah, I enjoy ABBA. Everyone enjoys ABBA. But growing up, my mum was very much into amateur dramatics and still produces plays and is involved in the amateur dramatic scene around Somerset now. And very often, ABBA was being played in the house, and so it does bring back memories of growing up at home. There had to be an ABBA track.
Got to be an ABBA track in there. It's track number one for Chris May. He's the CEO of Dubai Golf. He is making tracks here on The Agenda today. Enjoy. We've got the CEO of Dubai Golf, Chris May, is here. Raj says, hi, Chris. Also got one from Dev saying, Like Chris, very humble man. Really big music selection, that one, though. Liverpool, not my cup of tea, but because of Sir May, I will support them this season. That's from Dev this morning as well. This afternoon, as we're into the afternoon session. I'm in conversation with Chris May, the CEO of Dubai Golf. We're talking about his life and times and how he's got to where he is here in the UAE today. We've been through Somerset and that idyllic upbringing outside, scrumping apples and getting up to all sorts of mischief, and the sport playing that major role. Is that something that was encouraged by school as well?
Very much so, yeah. Had some great PE teachers right through the years, still in touch with a couple of them now. It was. I was very lucky. School sport was really important. In Somerset, we had the dubious honour of having to play Millfield on regular occasions, which wasn't much fun playing them at rugby.
They were as good back then, were they?
They were very good, yeah. We did enjoy the meals at Millfield, and that was about it, I think.
And in terms of, I mean, we've spoken a lot about the sporting element of things, the academic side of things. I mean, you've got a lot of letters after your name, Chris May. So was that a natural thing for you from an early age?
Education. I worked hard.
Yeah.
I wasn't at the top of the class, but I wasn't far from it. But I did work hard. It didn't come easily to me. I was always encouraged to work hard by my mum particularly, and maybe dad was a bit more on the sports side of things, but had made time for homework and did do those hours.
You know, when you're putting in those hours, training, sports fields and things like that, was there ever the opportunity to sort of think about, you know what, if I put in the hard yards here, I could make this. I could have a go at this. I could make it a go of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought at one point that I might be able to play football at professional level. I played semi-pro. When I say semi-pro, it was £10 a game, and £10 if you win.
It's a lot,
which is 60 dirhams, or 50 dirhams now. So it wasn't huge amounts, but I think I got...
Goes a long way in Somerset, though, doesn't it? Eh?
Oh, it did then. I thought I was quite good, but soon realised that I wasn't going to be anywhere near good enough when I played at sort of county level and senior level, and played a couple of games in the FA Cup, and people were much, much better than me. And so I very quickly realised I wasn't going to be quite good enough to play professionally. That was not really an option, really. And squash was not really an option either. So I always thought I would like to try and then work in sport. Mm. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but... Then started, went to university and followed that sports route.
Went to Loughborough University, which is renowned and synonymous with sport to this day as well, for the number of the institutions that are based down out of Loughborough. Was that part of the sort of the selection process for you?
Yeah, very much so. I chose Loughborough because of its reputation and the opportunities that it would give me. And without doubt, that helped me in my career in getting a job. Helped me a huge amount in education and, met a lot of people there, which, have helped me in my life, going forward.
Is that still to this day? Because we talk about that sort of old boy network from schools and Millfield can have that and everything, et cetera, et cetera. But is that something that continues to this day through Loughborough as well?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, only last month I bumped into a guy from Loughborough from, when I was there and, we connected and those connections are really, really important.
So Loughborough to study what?
I did, I first of all went to Trent Poly in Nottingham for 3 years, did sports science and recreation management, and then did did a master's degree in recreation management at Loughborough.
Nice.
It was a 12-month master's degree. It was hard work, but it was... I felt it was well worth doing because it would make me stand out in the employment market.
Yeah.
And it definitely helped me not only get my first job, but jobs after that.
And Nottingham, a good town to be a student in?
Nottingham is a great town. It's fantastic. It really is a great town, and I highly recommend anyone to go to Nottingham. Fantastic, and it's still a great city, but it was fantastic. Those years at in Nottingham were, I look back upon with very fond memories.
Enough said. Song number two for you. Which one have you gone for?
Song two? Ah, gosh, I don't know. What is it?
It's this one that's playing out there, With or Without You. U2. Why U2?
The great memories. The day following my exams, we went to watch U2 at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, what?
It was perfect timing. So Joshua Tree album was just out, and what a day.
What a day. It's song number two for Chris May.
In your side, I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate, on a bed of nails she makes me wait, and I wait without you, with or without you. Storm, we reach the shore. You gave it all, but I want more. And I'm waiting for you, with or without you.
Chris May is our guest here on Making Tracks this Thursday afternoon. He is the CEO of Dubai Golf. He is a man who had his further education in Nottingham and, of course, Loughborough. What happened next then, Chris? I mean, did you go straight into the sports world? Did you get straight into experience, getting your hands dirty?
Yeah, my first job was in Country Club Hotels, now Marriott Hotels, in Maidstone in Kent. And that is where I met my now wife, Claire. We both worked there for 3 years, and then we decided to take a year off and go traveling around the world, which is probably one of the best decisions we ever made.
Really? It's quite a bold thing to do.
It was after, lots of people do it now, and it was slightly unusual thing to do, but it was something that both of us really wanted to do, and we still don't regret it at all. And we've been back to many of those places subsequently on holidays, etc., but we went all Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, worked in Australia, down through New Zealand,
really
Fiji,
cool.
Hawaii, and then back home to start work again.
So back home to start work and then get back into the swing of things. You're thinking career together. You're thinking building your own individual careers. You're thinking hospitality. When does Dubai come onto the horizon for you both?
I think that year off traveling, certainly for both of us, really sort of put a seed in our minds, or a seed in our brains to kind of, that would be nice to work overseas one day. Yeah. So immediately when we got back, we both worked in and around London. I worked at the London Golf Club. Claire worked in the Broadgate Health Club in the city. We were very happy there. It was great. It was fun. Lots happening. Learning lots. But we kind of always had that thought, maybe it would be nice to go to Australia. I didn't really know Dubai, never really heard of it. I think we flew through it, actually, on that world trip. The only thing I really knew about Dubai was this hotel that was being built, and Burj Al Arab, and the Dubai Desert Classic.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah.
And didn't know anyone here. So we worked in London and then had one other job in the UK before coming over here. We worked, both of us actually, were offered a job by Nigel Mansell, the Formula One driver.
Okay.
Who kind of poached us both from our jobs and offered us a job to go and work in Devon at his golf club down there.
Yeah.
Having both worked together, it's not something I would recommend. And we haven't subsequently worked together on any job. So we're still, you know, we then subsequently got married, so yeah. Everything was good. But it was a great experience working for Nigel. He actually was really helpful to both of us and really mentored me personally on a regular basis, using his experience and knowledge and how he would deal with problems and come up with solutions. So, I didn't really appreciate what he was doing at the time as much as I do now, but I learned a huge amount from him at the time. So worked for him for 2 years and then had the opportunity to apply for a job in Dubai and asked a few people, you know, would that be a nice place to go to? And everyone said, yeah, that'd be great for your career. You should go for a couple of years.
Mm.
And so I applied and had an interview in London and then subsequently came out here for a second interview. And I was the lucky one out of, I think, about 340 applicants. And so got the job at the Creek in 99.
Job at the Creek in 99, which was at that point hosting the Classic?
My first week of
a bit of
being
a baptism
in Dubai
of fire, was, it?
Was the Dubai Desert Classic at Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club, which was a great baptism of fire, as you say. It was amazing. Great memories of that because our director of golf, Peter Downey at the time, actually was leading the tournament after 2.5 rounds with all these global superstars playing, and the home pro was leading the tournament, which has never happened since and will never happen again. But it was a great experience to see Dubai, and it was quite eye-opening to host the tournament and see what a great team of people there were at the club, because it was and still is a very special club. And I've been very, very lucky to work with some amazing people in the time that I've been in Dubai that really have, you know, helped me develop my career and, really given me a reason to stay here, really, because I've been constantly learning, developing since I've been here. Had new challenges, new roles, but that initial job at the Creek was a wow.
I mean, it's been, you know, the lungs of the city in many ways for many years. It's been a fundamental part of the city. I'm talking here about the Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club. We've seen rapid expansion since those times, since 1999, around the entire of the city. The city has spread out as well. Do you think it's still retained that role as a special place in the midst of the city?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, Dubai has developed hugely, as we're all aware of, and there's, you know, many new developments which are all fantastic. But I think it's also important for a city to keep some sense of, you know, history and some places that don't change that much, that still have, you know, some recognition and from people that have been here for a while. And I think the Creek and, you know, and Emirates Golf Club have done that very, very well. They've modernized, they've kept pace with the rest of the world, but at the same time they retain that sort of appeal of something that's established and that's been there for some time, and I think that's important.
Mm. We're going to move on to your next song now, song number 3, and I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, we talk Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club, and we talk about the fact that, you know, it has been a hotbed for great golf, international and of course grassroots here in the region for so long, but it's also been a home for so many other things down there, hasn't it? Events and others.
Yeah, I mean, it has. It's got a huge history. And prior to the hotel being built in 2005, we had a huge lawn, which we used to host big events on and many concerts. And the next track is one of the memories that really sticks out in my mind as one of the highlights of my working career here. Elton John performed at the Creek in 2002, I think it was. And we had 15,000 people come along to the concert, and I'm not a huge fan of Elton John, but that night he was incredible. And I really appreciate him as an artist. Based on that, he played for 2.5 hours without a break. Stunning.
I remember it fondly, as I'm sure many out there will. Maybe this jogs a few memories. Enjoy it.
Miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight. Gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out of fuse I've ever known. And I think it's gonna be a long fact is cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job 5 days.
Chris May is with us here in studio. He's taken on the role of making tracks today. We've worked our way up to the present day almost by way of Chris's journey here to the UAE and, of course, his role today as the CEO of Dubai Golf. I mean, given the experience you've got from Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club, then, of course, you went to Emirates Golf Club, spent a lot of time there. Was it a natural progression for you to go to the top job at Dubai Golf, or did you think long and hard about it?
No, I mean, I didn't think long and hard about it at all. It was
yes, please.
I jumped at the opportunity when I was given that role. It's a huge honour to head up the two clubs and now three. And, you know, I enjoy the responsibility. As I said earlier, we've got great teams of people at all the three clubs. And it's to bring everyone together and to try and achieve great results and look after people, look after members, guests. It's really enjoyable and something that I enjoy every single day that I come to work.
We talk about that though, and we talk about the pressures of work, the pressures of an environment such as the UAE. You're a family man as well. You're an active family man. You're a husband. You're a father as well. Have you got the balance right now? Has it taken time to get the balance right?
No, I don't get the balance right most of the time. It is difficult. It's one of the things living in Dubai is it's a busy city. My role is one, you know, that covers now multiple venues. You can't be in every place at the same time. You can only be in one place at one time. And, you know, I try very hard to get that balance right, but I very often fail.
You're an active family as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, both Gracie and Jodie, my daughters, are very active in sports. They swim very often, 6 and 8 times a week. So Claire is involved in picking them up and dropping them off most of the time. But I try to do that as much as I can because I think it's important to do that. And they're swimming in a gala this weekend, so I'm sure at some point I will make it up there to see them as well, which is fun.
And let's talk about the future. Is the May future here in the UAE for the near future?
Yes, I certainly think so, or hope so. I mean, we're very lucky in the UAE to enjoy a very safe living environment, which I think is really, really important. And the schools are fantastic. The girls are very lucky to be at Dubai College, which is a great school, and they're doing very, really well there. So I think it's a great foundation for their future. And as I say, the job is also, you know, it's fun every day. There's always new challenges. We're developing and upgrading things and bringing new concepts in, like Top Golf, which comes in early part of 2020, which is going to be a real game changer for the entertainment industry and golf as well. So it's a very interesting place to be. It's always changing, and it's a very dynamic environment to be involved in. And just to play a very small part of it is wonderful.
Chris May, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Making Tracks today. There is one more piece of music for us to talk about, but I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the team down here for not just today, but all the efforts that you do with correlations between golf here in the region and Dubai Eye. So thank you for that. What's your last one? You won for the weekend.
The one for the weekend is Lucky Man by The Verve, which is, I love this track. Just turn it up loud in the car and close the windows.
We appreciate your time, Chris. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that gala, and long may it continue.
Thanks very much, Tom. Have a good weekend.
Thanks much to Chris. Thanks to you, Joe McKibben.
Thank you all.
Thanks to the rest of the team. Do stay tuned. You've got the latest news headlines coming away in just a few moments' time. But as Chris was saying, crank this one up nice and loud and give air to your bad voice.
Happiness, more or less, it's just a change in me, something in my liberty on my mind. Happiness coming and going, I watch you look at me, watch my fever growing, I know just where I am. But how many corners do I have to turn? How many times do I have to learn? All the love I have is in my mind. But I'm a lucky man with fire in my hands. Happiness, something in my own place. I'm steady naked, smiling, I feel no disgrace. Happiness coming and going, I watch you look at me, watch my feet are growing, I know just who I am. How many corners do I have to turn? How many times do I have to run?
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.